Hello and welcome to the debate on Press TV. We're coming your way from our Tehran headquarters. I'm your host, Behruz Najafi. Restructuring of state institutions, the end of night curfews, and the release of political prisoners are what's been announced by Lieutenant General Burhan, the leader of Sudan's interim military council. Protesters have staged a sit-in before the military headquarters since April 6, asking for the resignation of President Omar al-Bashir. Well, the president was toppled by the military that has now promised to set the stage for elections after a two-year transition period. Protesters did not allow security forces to break up their sit-in today. They have given the military council a list of their demands, among them handing over the rule to a civilian government and removing Bashir's associates. Will the military council heed the protesters' demands? What's in the offing for the African country? Now, with that report by Mehdi Farahmand, let's begin the debate. Joining me will be Executive Director of the Sud Institute, Jok Madutjok from Syracuse, New York, and also editor of Pan-African Newswire, Abiyomi Ezekiwa, who's joining us out of Detroit, Michigan. Now, beginning with Jok, the main organizer of anti-government protests in Sudan has demanded the dissolution of the Transitional Military Council and the formation of a new interim civilian ruling council. Will the new military rulers listen to them?
They are most likely not going to listen to them, because what they are demanding is actually the necks of the people who have ruled the country for 30 years. And during that rule, they have intrinsically destroyed the country economically, in terms of ethnic relations, in terms of the identity and pride of the people of Sudan in their citizenship in the country. So the protesters are calling for things that, if they are met, it would mean the end to the National Congress Party, the ruling party. It will actually also mean possibility of putting al-Bashir, Ahmed Haroun, Abdelrahim, the former Minister of Defense, mm-hmm. all of these guys would have to be put on trial for crimes against humanity and war crimes they have committed over the past several decades. And so the military council that has taken power right now is very unlikely to respond positively to the demands of the protesters. The converse is that the protesters don't seem willing to relent, because this is a window of opportunity that the Sudanese public have not had for 30 years, an opportunity where they can stage a protest, a massive protest that will be very difficult for the Sudanese state to crash the way it has done over the last three decades. And so the two sides, the protesters led by professionals association and by many others who have joined hands in something called Freedom and Change Charter on the one hand, and the NCP led military council on the other, are now at a loggerheads, and there is a threat to the stability of Sudan at play.
Okay, let's discuss that later point. Let me now go to Detroit, to Abiyomi. Protesters want military leaders who do not represent the people not to make arbitrary decisions. Is the military there to stay or to hand over power to a civilian government as demanded by the people?
Well, it's a very complex situation. The fact that the Alliance for Freedom and Change and the Sudan Professional Association wants the immediate handover of power to what they describe as civilian rule is somewhat complicated from the standpoint that you will not have any type of multi-party or internationally supervised elections according to the demands that have been put forward against the military council. It's not clear that these groups constitute a majority or the majority will among the Sudanese people. It would be advantageous to, in fact, create a transitional program where there could be elections to determine actually what the political will of the Sudanese people actually is. I think there's a reluctance on the part of the Professional Association and the Alliance for Freedom and Change, because you still have support among sectors of Sudanese society for the National Congress Party and other political parties. And just to say that the military council should transfer control of the state over to a group of individuals and professional associations where it is not exactly evident that they have the capacity to control and rule and administer the state, and at the same time that they have the ability to in fact rule the country in a more efficient manner than it has been over the last 30 years. The economic problems in Sudan are not necessarily the fault of the government that's been ruling over the last three decades. The country is heavily dependent upon oil revenues, which have declined internationally. So these are problems that have to be grappled with. And I don't think just a mere change of leadership is going to resolve these issues.
Now, back to Jock. Protesters have promised to remain in the streets until their demands are met. They insist that shifting to a civilian rule will be the first step toward the fall of the regime. Will they be able to make the junta fulfill their wishes, or will they back out and go home?
I don't think they will back out, because this is the first opportunity they have had in 30 years. And I think they are going to remain on the streets until at least some kind of a compromise is reached between the military council and the professional associations and all the other members of the coalition that have now stationed themselves on the streets of Sudan, of Khartoum. Unless there is a compromise agreement where there is a clear roadmap to a transition where you will have a one-year period of governance combining the civil society and professional associations and political parties on the one hand, and the NCP military junta, which is now still in power, on the other. If there is an agreement that they will form a coalition government that will last for a year or two, after which there will be some work on the constitution of the country, the repealing of all the laws that constrict civil rights, and then a timeline to an election, then maybe that compromise might be viable. Without such a compromise, I think the two parties to this confrontation are locked in a position where they threaten the stability of the country as a whole. Let us not forget that Libya is on the back of the minds of many people, that a transition that is disorderly could actually be in the worst interest for the whole country. I think going forward, the protesters have a right to pursue a line that says no more NCP in power, because as we stand, NCP is still in control. Not only is Burhan and stalwart of NCP, not only is President al-Bashir still free as a mouse in the church, not only are the broadcasting corporations still under the control of the NCP and all the businesses, the NCP in essence is still very much in control, and you can see why the protesters are not going to let up in their protests until there has been some either power sharing or total expulsion of the NCP from power altogether.
Abiyomi, protesters are also saying that they will continue this sit-in until all symbols of the former regime who have had their hands dirty in crimes against the people are detained. You know, Deputy Military Ruler General Ghosh, who is also among the 17 officials indicted for crimes in Darfur region in 2009, he has resigned, but he was not arrested. Will the culprits face justice, or will they get away with their crimes?
I think
it depends on the...
Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I believe this depends upon the political process that has unfolded over the last several days. There has been an indication that the former president, al-Bashir, will be tried. It's not clear exactly what he's going to be tried for. There's also been reports that he will not be turned over to the International Criminal Court in the Netherlands based upon the allegations and charges that have been filed against him in relationship to the suppression of the uprising in the western Darfur region over the last several years. To put them on trial, of course, could be very disruptive to Sudanese society as well. This will require almost a complete purging of the top officer corps of the Sudanese military. And mind you, there are still regional conflicts that are going on inside the Republic of Sudan in at least two different regions of the country. You also have to look at the foreign policy of the Republic of Sudan. In recent years, they have gotten considerable support from Saudi Arabia as well as the United Arab Emirates.
Right.
There's been greater cooperation with the United States. So these are factors that have to be taken into consideration in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm. Now back to Syracuse. Jock, the Military Council insists it will take them 2 years to hold elections and give the helm to a civilian government. Does it really take that long for the transition to happen? What could happen along the way?
No, it doesn't take that long at all. And that is why the protesters are suspicious of this plan. Because what they do in those 2 years is to re-entrench themselves to the point where when the elections actually eventually happen, it will be a sham elections that they control, and elections where they rig all the ballots, and in the end you will have the same Islamist radical movement coming back to power in a different shape and form, while the people who are now indicted for various types of crimes will go free. That is exactly what would happen if you have such a long transition with the military intact the way it has been, because you will have to remember that even the current Sudan military was purged by the NCP some 25 to 30 years ago, where they are put in the topmost echelon of the military only those people who are loyal to the Islamist agenda. So keeping them in place to be the ones to supervise the transition is like putting the fox in supervising the renewal of the hen house. And so that is the real reason why the protesters are suspicious about the current military regime. I don't think with them in place as they are today, there can ever be a genuine transition to a civilian rule that would come through the ballot box.
Mm-hmm. Now, Abiyomi, we also have the opposition groups. You know, they have met the generals to discuss what they call transitional arrangements. They insist that a civilian government be formed immediately, but they also allow some role for the military. Are the opposition's demands the same as those of the people?
Well, here again, without elections, without some type of national conference of the various political parties and interests inside the country, it's going to remain unclear. We can look back to 1985. There was a general uprising inside of Sudan during that time period. And of course, the military stepped in 1985. They took power, and there was a more rapid transition to civilian rule within less than a year. Yet, within 3 years, apparently, the social situation inside the country had not been stabilized, and this paved the way for the former president, Hassan al-Bashir, to take power in 1989. And then, of course, politicize the military and other sectors of Sudanese society that has ruled since 1989. The country has undergone a tremendous amount of turmoil over the last 30 years, the escalation of the war with the South, the partitioning of the country and the impact, the economic impact of that with the breakaway in 2011 of the Republic of South Sudan. You also had the Darfur conflict, which was fueled in many ways by the United States, by the state of Israel. So the overall state has been weakened considerably. So I don't think it's a question of looking at what is happening in Sudan in isolation from the broader international context. The oil situation inside the country, Sudan at one point was an emerging oil-producing state, and with the decline in oil and other commodity prices, this has deeply impacted the overall stability of the society. So I don't think it's a simple solution by merely handing over power to professional groups inside the country when it's not clear exactly in regard to their ability to establish a viable state in Sudan.
Now, Jock, the junta is saying it won't extradite ousted President Bashir to face the ICC court on crimes against humanity and war crimes committed in Darfur. And they say that they may just as well try him inside Sudan. Will justice be served this way?
Not at all. I think this is the ultimate test to the International Criminal Court and to the international camaraderie as a whole, whether there is any muscle or spine for the international system to then say that al-Bashir must be tried at in a venue that is free and fair and internationally supervised, in order for these people of South Sudan, that he has massacred, to get a semblance of justice. I think the trial of al-Bashir within Sudan is what the current military regime is looking to claim, but majority of protesters, whether they are from the poor classes of Khartoum, or they are from Darfur, or from Blue Nile, or from South Kordofan, the most marginalized people, or from the far Nubian North, or from the Red Sea, majority of these people will say, Bashir has destroyed our country too much for him to then be tried within Sudan. So the best thing to do is to send him to the international court in The Hague. And I think they are going to insist on that until they see this happen. Otherwise, the protests will continue.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time. Let me ask Abi Umi another question. Saudi Arabia and UAE, you also mentioned them, they're worried about the situation in Sudan. They are closely watching it. And the two Arab monarchies have announced they're ready to support the military council, and they want the council to remain in control. Saudi Arabia has even promised economic aid to Sudan. What are the two Arab countries concerned about? Briefly, please.
Well, they're concerned about the war in Yemen. Unfortunately, the former president sent Sudanese troops to participate in this war, which is a genocidal conflict that's killed thousands of people, that's created the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. But in regard to the ICC, it's been very controversial on the African continent for the simple reason that this body has been almost exclusively preoccupied with alleged war crimes in Africa. And when it announced that it was going to conduct an investigation over the U.S. role in Afghanistan, the chief prosecutor had her visa revoked to the United States. So we cannot say that the ICC is a unbiased body. It's based in Europe, and it's not unbiased in regard to how they have conducted their business over the last few years vis-a-vis Africa and other parts of the world.
All right, and that will come to the end of this edition of The Debate. Let me thank our guests. We had executive director of the SUD Institute, Jock Mehta Jock from Syracuse, New York, and also editor of the Pan-African Newswire, Abi Umi Ezekiwe, joined us out of Detroit, Michigan. And thank you for watching this program. We'll see you soon.